This episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. It is the last episode of this week, which is going to be the 23rd day of April 2021. Hope you had a nice Earth Day. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about why, and please, people who think I'm only a Yankee hater, the Yankees and their fans should not be panicking, why I had a little bit of an existential crisis during a game, and why the series of the year will continue to be in Southern California. This show is available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these, well, still interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other terrific shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods, same handle on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Some of you know, as a native New Englander, I have no love for the Yankees. I don't. But this is not Locked On hating Yankees. This is Locked On MLB. And one of the things that I kind of pride myself on this show is that while I certainly have biased opinions in terms of what I want to see happen, we're going to get into one of the great conflicts of that happened last night, I will also always be objective when the Yankees do something that is good for them or productive. I will praise them. Same with the Houston Astros. Same with the Cardinals. I'm not a Cardinal fan. I'm not an Astros fan. I'm not a Yankee fan. The Red Sox, the team that I grew up rooting for. The Mariners, the team I've recently adopted. The Giants, the team that my father grew up and until the day he died, rooted hard for the Giants. I will criticize the Red Sox. I will criticize the Mariners. I will criticize the Giants. I'll criticize the A's and all the teams that I actually emotionally root for. And so I will say there was a moment in the game that happened today between New York and Cleveland. The beginning of the game, the Yankees looked grotesque. The Domingo Germán, terrible person, worst pitcher, was not sharp, but the Yankee infield was a disaster. Brett Gardner made a terrible play, and this on the heels of a completely lackluster loss, say that three times fast, to Charlie Morton and the Braves the night before. It looked like the Yankees were going to spiral, especially because their bats were dead, and they were down 3-3 in the first inning to Cleveland. Okay, that being said, I have to give the team credit. I have to give the Yankees credit because even though they were down 3-0 and there would not have been a soul on the planet Earth who would have been surprised if the Yankees had just folded tent, especially with the solid pitching that Cleveland has had up until this point. But as it turned out, they tied the game and Rougned Odor drove in the go-ahead, going 2 runs on a single and in the 7th inning, and an inning that was just sort of a never-ending inning for those of us who are not huge fans of the Yankees. And the bullpen did its job. Now, the Yankees are still 7-11, which is good if you need to have a Slurpee, but not great after nearly 3 weeks of a baseball season. But as we all know, this is a very, very long season. And the Yankees, well, I picked them to win the East. And as I've said many, many times, and I've said over and over and over again, this is a bizarre American League that we're going to have this year. No team's going to win 100 games. No team's going to lose 100 games. And the Yankees are not going to be this team on the field in September and October. There's going to be some turnover. And a person I've been very, very critical of over the years has been Brian Cashman, the Yankee general manager since, I think, the days of Joe DiMaggio. And I was very critical of Cashman since he basically took over from the Steinbrenners and had complete control of the team since the mid-2000s, because they basically, I was completely unimpressed by his signings. I was completely unimpressed by his trades. He managed to put together one World Series title, and that was when they opened up the bank vault and brought in Teixeira and A.J. Burnett and C.C. Sabathia. And C.C. Sabathia was one of the greatest free agent signings in the history of baseball. And the team eventually fell apart under his watch. Where I give him a tremendous amount of credit was from 2017 on, he basically rebuilt the team without having to see it tank. While they did miss the postseason a couple of times in the mid-2010s, by 2017, they became a legitimate pennant contender again with a revitalized team, with a different team, with almost complete turnover. A-Rod was gone. Cano was gone. Rivera was gone. It was a new team. The only player remaining from the 2009 title is Gardner, and he was a reserve on that team. So he did turn the team over, and I have to give him credit for that. Where I'll give him a tremendous amount more credit is if he learned from two critical mistakes he made as a general manager earlier in his career. In 2010, the Yankees were the defending World Series champs, having won after that marvelous World Series against Philadelphia in 2009. And Cliff Lee, the Cy Young Award winner in the American League in 2008, the playoff hero for Philadelphia in 2009, was inexplicably traded to Seattle after the 2009 World Series. And while everyone thought he was going to make a great 1-2 punch with Felix Hernandez, it didn't work out. And Cliff Lee, who was a free agent to be, was available by a trade from Seattle. And there was talk of whether it was be Jesus Montero was going to be included in the deal. Jesus Montero was being, pitched as being the next Miguel Cabrera. And there was rumors that he was going to be traded to the Yankees. Cliff Lee was. And in the end, he was traded to Texas. And Cliff Lee wound up being part of the Texas Rangers team in 2010 that defeated the Yankees in the League Championship Series. Cliff Lee was remarkable in the postseason when he pitched a complete game victory to eliminate Tampa Bay in the playoffs, and was solid against the Yankees in the ALCS with the Texas Rangers, and until the Rangers lost in the World Series to San Francisco. But if Cliff Lee was on that Yankee team, then I fervently believe that the Yankees would have at least got to the World Series. Now, whether or not they would have beaten San Francisco in the World Series, who knows? San Francisco was tremendous that year, but they would have at least got to the World Series. In 2017, another former Cy Young Award winner was available, especially after the whole waiver wire deadline took place, and that was Justin Verlander. And Verlander was bandied about, was who a team was going to go to, There were Yankee rumors. He wound up going to Houston. Now, no matter what the circumstances were regarding Houston's pennant and ultimate World Series title, Verlander was the League Championship Series most valuable player against the Yankees and was a key for the Astros title. Again, I'm making no judgment beyond what we know about the Astros World Series title. They won it, and Verlander was a big star on that team. That is beyond question. Whether or not you want to say anything else about it, that's up to you. But the Yankees whiffed on getting Verlander. They whiffed on getting Lee and cost them potentially two pennants. And they haven't won a pennant since importing CC Sabathia in 2009 when there was a big fish available. Now, to Cashman's credit, a giant fish was available a couple of years ago, and they got that fish in the net in Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole is my pick to win the Cy Young Award. But it takes more than one starting pitcher to win a pennant. Max Scherzer is probably going to be available. Max Scherzer, who's having a wonderful season. And if the Washington Nationals fall short and they have injuries, they have issues. Now, again, it's a strange division right now, and nobody is running away with it right now. Atlanta is, in my very humble opinion, the best team in the division. And I think eventually when 162 games unfold and everything is right in the world, the Braves will indeed win that division. But right now they're at 8-10. They're in a similar place as the Yankees, and they're allowing teams like the Mets, despite their stumbling last night, to think that they have a shot. And maybe the Nationals will be in that same point. But if the Nationals fall apart, Scherzer will probably be available. And Cashman has to know. Cashman has to know that they need to acquire a pitcher of Scherzer's caliber to lock it up. Because that's what it will take to win the American League. This is a very winnable American League. And for all the teams that are going to be contending this year and have images of a World Series title dancing in their head, you know, for some teams that desperately need to get the proverbial monkey off their back, like the A's, like the Mariners, like the Twins, like the Angels, or to have a redemption story like the Astros, or to be able to make the fans forget the Mookie Betts trade by flashing the little thing in their face like the Men in Black stick for the Red Sox, in case you were wondering what team I was talking about there, or for the White Sox who want to capture the city's attention with the Cubs inevitably want to tank, or the Royals wanted to shock everybody, the Mariners wanted to get to the postseason for the first time since Ichiro's rookie year. For all those teams, they know this is a winnable American League. And that goes for the Yankees too. There's pressure on the Yankees. They went an entire decade without appearing in a World Series. That hasn't happened since they were called the Highlanders in the 1910s. And they failed to make the World Series the first year of this decade. I'm sure they don't want to make it two complete decades without appearing in a World Series. And if a Scherzer is out there, and you know, eventually, whether it's Herman or Taillon or Kluber, one of those ones, they're going to have to say, this experiment didn't work, cut bait. Bring in Max Scherzer to be at the top of the rotation with Gerrit Cole. And then you look at a short series and you want to face the Yankees at that point. The Yankees are going to do well because they're going to make the adjustments. I don't want them to. I would love to see them miss the postseason altogether. But they probably won't, because Cashman, despite what I thought before, is smart. But he has to learn his lesson. He has to learn his lesson to know that he can't let that big in-season fish swim away, because that's going to be the key. Lee swam away. Verlander swam away. They can't let the big fish of Scherzer swim away, because they need to catch that fish. This is a Yankee team that needs another pennant. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft starting on April 29th through May 1st. So I'm going to just quickly talk about a couple of things and the games that went on Thursday. I had a little bit of a personal crisis because I kind of abandoned the Red Sox as I no longer really identify with Boston sports anymore, because it's evolved into, the Boston sports fan has evolved into a new animal. And I haven't lived in New England for a very long time. And I'm probably never going to live there again. And I got very mad after they traded Mookie Betts. And I figured maybe it's time to turn the page and try something new in my fandom. I've seen the Red Sox win 4 World Series. Maybe I need a new mountain to climb as a fan. And that's why I adopted the Seattle Mariners. And in the 60 games that were played last year, I never had to test this because the Red Sox and Mariners never played each other. The West only played the West last year. The East only played the East last year. And today I got my first test of it emotionally. The Mariners were in Fenway. Was I really going to root against the Red Sox in a game at Fenway Park? And Pivetta was pitching for the Red Sox. And through the first 5 innings, he was throwing a no-hitter. And I thought to myself, how do I feel about this? Because I want the Mariners to win the West. And they're in first place in the West. And or if they win, they would be tied with Oakland. But really, am I going to abandon the Red Sox like this? Am I going to root against the Red Sox in a no-hitter situation? Now, as it turned out, the no-hitter was broken up. And the Mariners tied it in the 6th inning with a bizarre 2-out hit by Ty France, a double which tied the game, and France was thrown out at 3rd. And then a wild pitch allowed Kiki Hernandez to tie the game to give the Red Sox the lead in the 7th, but the Mariners tied the game on a J.P. Crawford bunt. And then in the 10th inning, using the stupid ghost runner on 2nd rule, the Mariners wound up scoring 4 runs, 7-3. I didn't watch the game. I was too weird. I watched like an inning of it. I said, no, this is, or I listened to it because I actually prefer to listen to games than to watch them. It was too weird. I had to turn it off. It was too weird for me emotionally. And then I saw that Seattle won the game and are 12-7. The Red Sox lost, and coupled with the Yankee victory, you're thinking, oh man, the Yankees are catching up. And I realized it was weird. I'm glad that Seattle won for the West, but I wonder if I would have been just as glad if the Red Sox had won. What I'm saying is that this is going to be a really rough series for me to watch and absorb emotionally. For everyone else here in Southern California, the Dodgers lost the game to the San Diego Padres, part one of the rematch. The key play was a wonderful double play that was turned by Jake Cronenworth at second base to preserve the lead in the 8th inning. This is 4 games in, and the Dodgers and Padres are 2-2 against each other. The series continues today, with Darvish going against his former teammates, Clayton Kershaw going for Los Angeles. Should be a terrific game. Should be a great game. The other games going on in the American League yesterday, the Astros ended their losing streak against the Angels, and a hit-by-pitch took Mike Trout out of the game. Can't have that, folks. Can't have Mike Trout out of games. I mean, he is the face of baseball at this point. We need him to be healthy and doing well. Another day, the Cincinnati Reds bullpen absolutely collapsed in a 14-11 game. That is not an Arizona Cardinals versus Cincinnati Bengals score. That is a Major League Baseball game, another extra inning game. And the Cincinnati defense was just atrocious. And remember how hot the Reds were? And I got Jeff Carr in. I got him in on the show to feel very good because the Reds got off to a really fast start. And here we are. It's not even – we got a week left to go in April. And the Reds are an even 9-9. They couldn't take that winning record through the month. And the way they're playing, they're going to be playing losing ball by the end of the month. Let's give a little shout out to a team that's playing losing ball in Pittsburgh. Pirates are 9-10, which isn't great, but this was a team everyone thought was a 100-loss ball club. Now, they could still very well lose 100 games, right? And they wound up beating Detroit. But, hey, let's hear it for mediocrity. Let's hear it for the boy. Now, the one other game to mention is that San Francisco shut out the Miami Marlins 3-0. And the Giants improved to 12-7. And so they're still hanging around in between Los Angeles and San Diego. Well, let's hear it for Kurt Casale, who became the fifth pitcher in the modern era, which means since the formation of the American League and National League in 1901, to have a shutout streak as a catcher of at least five games. Five games that Casale has caught have been shutouts. And with five different starters, Johnny Cueto, Alex Wood, Anthony DeSclafani, Kevin Gausman, and then last night with Aaron Sanchez. So maybe give Posey a break, have him play more first base, and have Kurt Casale catch some more games. And the San Francisco Giants, a team that I don't know what anyone thought was they were going to do this year. I didn't have very high hopes. I thought they'd be a fringe wildcard team, but you know what? They're playing a solid, solid brand of baseball in April. We know they can hit, and evidently they can pitch. And if you can both hit and pitch, I'm going to just say something truly, truly revolutionary. Then you have a decent chance to win, you know, baseball games. I'm just saying. So California is where it is. If you want to see the Giants, you want to see the Padres, you want to see the Dodgers, or hey, you want to see the hottest team in baseball and the A's, they're coming up. The best player in California remains Trout. And oh, come on, Mike, get better. And I have to remember what I always learn, because whenever someone leaves a game and injured, I always assume they're going to be in a full body cast and maybe never walk again. When Fernando Tatis was on the injured list, I just assumed his career was over. And then a week later, he's hitting a home run against the Dodgers. I tend to overreact to these things. But Trout, do what you need to do. Do you need protein? Is protein going to help? Well, do you want? I say we get this guy some protein, and the best way to get the protein is to give him a Built Bar. Get Mike Trout a Built Bar. Now, what is a Built Bar? It's the best tasting protein bar ever, Mike Trout. They've got new and improved flavors, anything that Mike Trout could want. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. My favorite is raspberry, Mike Trout. Try the mint brownie, Mike Trout. That could get you healthy. These bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. But guess what, Mike Trout? They're healthy. You're a health-conscious guy, Mike Trout. You don't need to worry about losing or maintaining weight, but you don't want to get pudgy. You don't want to suddenly turn into Mike Stout. Probably the dumbest improvisation I've ever done in my life. Listen, Mike Trout, listen to me. You like cookies and cream? Of course you do. You're a human being. They've got 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carb. You get a free cooler with purchase, Mike Trout, while supplies last. Look at Mike Trout. I know you've signed this big, huge contract, but in case you want to save some money, you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKDOWN15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Please, Mike, we need you back. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It's happening right now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCoforna, Brian Baldinger. Our local experts from every team are making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts and music and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY, Odyssey. All right, folks, I'm not going to lie to you. Your pal Sully's a little bit pooped because I'm working full time. I'm doing my Fullerton work. I'm took a long trip today. It's just, I'm a little pooped, but I'm looking forward to a weekend with some great, great baseball. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in the front of the line in the National League Central, are going to be playing a game against the Cubs, and that's always an important series, even if the Cubs are looking to sell. The hottest team in baseball remains the Oakland A's, and they are going to Baltimore. Can the A's stretch their winning streak to 12 wins? Irvin's going up against Lopez. Everything seems to be going the A's way. Remember how they were going horribly early on? Well, baseball is a long, long hike. Please, please do not try to predict the American League, because right now you have the Royals sitting on top of the American League Central, and they're going to be playing the Detroit Tigers. That might be a couple more wins for KC. In a strange, strange series, you have the Nationals and the Mets. Jacob DeGrom is going to pitch for the Mets, which means the Mets are going to lose 1-0. My heart needs to be still as the Mariners are playing the Red Sox again. I'm not sure where to go as Kikuchi is going to take on Perez. Two first-place teams, unlikely first-place teams. Who do you root for? I don't know. Just leave me alone. One of the best pitching matchups is going to happen between Toronto and Tampa Bay. Mats, who left the Mets, and he's now pitching very well for Toronto so far. He's 3-0 with an ERA of 1.47, is going against Glasnow, who's putting together an all-star start for Tampa Bay. Watch that be 14-11. Montgomery is going to get the ball against Allen as the Yankees try to make it 2 in a row against Cleveland. Cleveland is hovering around 500 right now. The D-backs and the Braves, you know, the Braves are going to eventually turn it around, and maybe it's going to start against the Snakes. Meanwhile, the Astros and the Angels are going to be locking antlers. Former Angel, current Astro, Zach Greinke is going to be going, and let's just wait to see what happens with Mike Trout. The Pirates are a surprising team, even though they're sub 500, surprisingly in a positive way. The Twins are surprising how bad they've been right out of the gate. Brubaker is pitched well for Pittsburgh. He's starting for them. Jay Happ, who needs to know that if he wants to be called Jay Happ, he can spell his name J-A-Y Happ. Otherwise, I may have to call him J-A Happ, which is how you pronounce those letters in that order. Jay Happ, you're driving me crazy. Jay Happ, by the way, was a Yankee last year. Still not sure why he's not a Yankee now. The Rangers and the White Sox are going to bang up in Chicago, and Dunning is going to be pitching for Texas, but he's going against a really, really, really challenging pitcher known as TBD. Gray is going for the Reds, seeing if he can recapture that magic. Kim is going for the Cardinals, who's not looked good so far, and we're going to see how those two teams, the Reds, have had a slide, and their starting pitching has been fine. Molly has been fantastic. Their bullpen's been a disaster, and right now they're only one game ahead of the Cardinals. The Phillies and the Rocks are going to be going in Colorado. Meanwhile, the Marlins and the Giants, Wood is pitching. He hasn't let up an earned run all year. Alcantara is pitching for the Marlins. We'll see where that goes. And then, of course, Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw in what should be the game of the night in what is certainly the series of the weekend. So it's going to be a fun weekend of baseball. Fun weekend of baseball, and we're going to talk all about it when we come back on Monday on the next episode of Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods, or you can follow me at Sully Baseball. And remember, please call me Sullivan.